time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Alice gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne on KYKN 1430 for your noon hour. Hey, this is the hour we've reserved to talk about local institutions and ideas, local individuals, initiatives. We certainly have one of those individuals in the studio with us today. So welcome. And Dave, what was that music?
Lawyers, guns, and money.
Lawyers, guns,
Warren
and money.
Warren Zevon. Okay. A little obscure one for you, but, you know.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Hey, we talk about people. I like to talk about, and at the show, people in the community who are making a difference. And it may not be famous. They may not be the mayor. They may be elected official or police chief. But people in the community, they're making a difference and introduce the public to them and what they do. So my friend, I brought my friend in, Marin Arriola. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon.
We were just talking before the show, and just talking to Marin exhausts me. I feel like I have to go home and take a nap because he is involved in so many things, and his company does so many things. Marin is the president of Advanced Economic Solutions, Inc. Economic Solutions, Inc., one of the busiest companies you probably have not yet heard of. And not to, on top of that, serving on a number of boards and commissions. And
oh, wow.
Hopefully we'll get to all of them this hour. But welcome, Marianne. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for inviting me.
So you live here in the community?
Yes.
Married?
Been here 15 years.
Have kids? Went through local schools?
No.
Yes, you. Yes, you do. Your kids are in local schools.
Yes.
And, yeah, raised your family. But I always want to point that out because, you know, these are not the people we bring on Newsmakers are people who are invested and grounded in the community.
Right.
You know, we're not bringing Portland people down to tell them what to do and what's what in Salem, Kaiser, right?
No.
So, all right. So here's your challenge is to explain, because I know overall you work in workforce, you work in workforce and business. And business development, workforce development.
Economic development.
Economic development, which is a great term. Mm-hmm. So try to explain to the listener what Advanced Economic Solutions does.
So basically our mission as consultants is to work with government, private business, nonprofit, small business, anyone in the community to create a better economy for everybody in the community. How we do that is we are hired as consultants to develop and implement programs. For example, we develop workforce training programs to get young adults into the workforce. We develop small business training programs to get or teach people how to start a business in the city of Salem. We partner with the city of Salem in getting low-income people in starting a business, but also having an effective business. So we provide training, mentoring, coaching, connections to help them start a business. That's another example.
I caught something that you said earlier, and you help people enter the workforce, adults enter the workforce. So these people—
Young adults.
Young adults.
Yes.
So they have not yet entered the workforce or found a career and so forth. You try to find, slot them in where they have some job skills.
Correct.
Or develop their job skills.
Correct.
Okay. And I know, for the record, Marin serves on the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors.
Yes.
As did I.
Yes.
No longer, but we did serve for a while together. And so I think that some of these things that you do intersect with other institutions.
Correct.
Because you said economic development, business development, and workforce.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of Inspire Foundation, a little bit of the Chamber, a little bit of SEDCOR, a little bit of Insight, is it called? Insight?
Yeah. Now it's called Willamette Workforce Partnership.
Okay.
Yes. Formerly Insight.
Basically, to help people either improve their lot in life or launch an enterprise.
Yes.
Okay. All right, didn't mean to interrupt, but go on.
No. So basically, for example, 15 years ago when I first moved to Oregon, my kids were young. We got our first contract works project with Business Oregon, State of Oregon. And our goal there was to help and teach people throughout the State of Oregon how to start a small business. So we were going to, of course, Salem, Medford, Klamath Falls, everywhere in the state, teaching people how to start a business. So we're providing coaching, mentoring. So that was one project we did for almost 6 years.
Wow.
And working with the state of Oregon. And as a result of that, you know, we got more work. But the goal is always to help government also in terms of how to be more effective and making sure that our citizens have a better economy for them, but also how to make sure small business have more access to programs, to trainings, to contracts in a way that's effective for small business. So in a way, we're teaching government, private business, but also teaching our community members how to work better together to create a better economy for everyone. So for example, we did work with the state of Oregon in training their staff to how to be more effective in working with small business and making sure that a lot of them, when it comes to outreach and marketing small business, it's in a way more effective. And when it comes to learning, understanding how government works, teach small business how to work with government, how to get a contract, how to get certified, how to get bonds, how to get insurance, how to navigate the government system and making sure they get contracts for their small company, either in construction, whatever that may be, you know, how to teach them how to do that.
Okay,
that's another example.
It could seem onerous for a small business and say your mom and
definitely.
Pop. And, but, you know, the capital needs services.
Yes.
Be they cleaning or windows or whatever it is. And to get to the point where you can contract with a local government or even the state government, right?
Correct. So
and
for example,
help them navigate that.
Yes. So for example, and 10 years ago, 2008, when the state hospital was going to be remodeled, $250 million project that the state of Oregon had. Here locally in Salem, my goal was to make sure that a lot of local businesses heard about the project, understood the requirements, how to get work with Hoffman, how to work with the state of Oregon, you know, bonding insurance. So we would have forums, workshops, mm-hmm. and educate small business locally or through the region to how to do that. And then also making sure that Hoffman and the government understand how small business work and make it easier for them to get projects with the state of Oregon. So we had forums throughout the Marion County area mm-hmm. on how to do that.
Yeah, I know people get frustrated sometimes. I noticed this in the city of Salem. If they ever contract with somebody who's from out of the area, out of the state, even up to Portland, we got hassles because the utility bill was being mailed out of Portland, right? So why aren't we hiring Salem people? And so you're right there embroiled in making sure that our economic engine turns more and some of that government spending is spent in this region.
Yes.
And so people have access to get those contracts.
So for example, okay. 4 years ago, we started a group called Salem Capital Connections. It's we're volunteers. It's a networking group. We meet every last Tuesday of the month here in Salem. And our goal is to connect small business with potential contracts with government and large companies throughout the area. So we meet, we have them speak about what work is available. For example, we had the deputy chief of police and the police station people regarding that project talk in September about what work will be available for small businesses locally. So we invited about 40, 50 businesses to come and learn about how to work with the police station project with a contractor and anything else they needed to know. And it was a good environment because people were able to connect, talk to the people that were in charge of the project and kind of make or establish relationships with one another.
Okay, so right now there's a guy with a truck who's in this in the trades listening, and it probably sounds onerous. It probably sounds like too deep to tackle, and probably there's an architect listening right now and that same kind of question, and mm-hmm. there's somebody with a home office and they have some sort of services and so forth. Is it as hard as it seems?
It can be very frustrating, but that's why we try to hopefully work kind of like in between and making sure that we're sort of like allowing the opportunity for them to connect with us to better help them because we have the connections, but definitely can be very frustrating. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, boy, so many things to talk about. We're going to talk about Salem Capital Connections. We're going to talk about integration, minority businesses into the general workforce and so forth. So hold on right there, Marin.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We're going to get right to it. You're listening to KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne on KYKN, your noon hour, where it's local talk of people and things that affect Salem, Kaiser, Polk County, Marion County, the whole region, especially when it comes to their pocketbooks, their quality of life. And so we're stretching out there. Hello out there, Dallas. Hello to Fall City. All around, Staten, Sublimity, all over the place. I know we talk about Salem a lot, but we really do reach a larger region. So with us today, somebody who's interested in the economy of the region, Advanced Economic Solutions President Marin Arriola. And just before the break, I was trying to segue into talking about the integration of minority businesses. I know, Marin, you work a lot with that. In terms of the marketplace, both in terms of how many minorities and Hispanics specifically own businesses in the area, and how big the marketplace is for all businesses to sell to the consumer, like maybe a Spanish-speaking as a native language consumer.
Sure. So, very good question, Brent. Here locally in Salem, you have close to probably 3,000 Hispanic minority firms in the area. Salem metro area, which includes Marion County, Polk, predominantly. The buying power of Latinos in the area is probably close to $3.2 billion.
Did you say billion?
Billion.
With a B? B, like Brent?
With a B, yes. Yes. Wow. And honestly, it's probably higher than that. It's really hard to get really good data. It's this kind of old data. But I think recent data would probably show that the figures are probably higher than that. And the workforce has been increasing 360% faster than a non-Latino workforce. So definitely there's a big increase also in the workforce.
Right.
And a lot of them are, of course, you know, working in agricultural, warehouse, manufacturing, and so forth, but also starting in a lot of small businesses. Construction. Mm-hmm. Definitely construction is a big field for a lot of Hispanic firms.
Wow, because I'll tell you, I go back to 1995-ish, and I was seeing Gladys Plum, the queen bee of Salem area real estate. Gladys was giving a networking group presentation on demographics in the valley, and I think it was just Marion County specific, but it was like 97% white.
Wow.
And non-Hispanic white, I must add. So it was unbelievable, and it has changed quite a bit. So now it's closer. Is it over? It's over 20% Hispanic in the county, right?
You know what? Honestly, it's probably close to 28%.
Wow.
And in, right. in the school system, it's 40%.
So people that own businesses, that's a lot of market for us to invite. Because we want one economy, right? We don't want two economies.
Correct.
We want one business community, not two business communities. We want one chamber of commerce that looks after the best interests of everybody generating money in our area.
Correct.
And we're preaching this here on Newsmakers in terms of, hey, when somebody has a good job, they buy a TV. And then the TV salesman buy a car.
Correct.
Then the car salesman gets to buy the TV, and then so on and so forth. It goes down. Then the TV salesman takes his wife out to dinner and then a restaurant, and it floats all boats.
Yes.
Right?
No, so. Just a quick example. For example, Food for Less here locally in Salem. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of outreach and marketing to the Hispanic consumer. They learned that the average Hispanic consumer was spending $100 per purchase compared to other consumers. So they started getting products that Hispanic consumers wanted to buy, which led to higher gross margins, more profits for Food for Less, which now became Mega Foods, by the way. I'm sorry to say that, in a way that they now make a lot of their profits from the Hispanic market.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're in the middle of all that, trying to talk to all the parties, the government and government doing business with business, small business talking to big business. You mentioned Hoffman, and that's one of the state's largest contractors and get a lot of the big contracts. But they will use local subcontractors and connect those things.
Correct.
All right. Tell us a little bit about integrating that minority businesses and the workers into the larger community. Is that a chore?
So one of the things, so for example, we work with also a lot of large firms, agricultural and otherwise. For example, our goal is to train a lot of the workers to your right. So basically a class that we would teach is U.S. workplace culture. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you do business? How do you work in the U.S. when it comes to compared to other countries where they're from? So we try to integrate them to make sure they understand the values, the cultural norms, and working in U.S. workplace environments. So we do teach that, by the way, with some of the local firms here in the area. And it's called U.S. workplace culture. Hmm. And it's great. You know, people love it. They want to make sure that they have all the norms or the values, the systems in terms of how to do business or how to work in these type of environments.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting, because there is a difference. It's very much,
yes.
You know, you can't see me on the radio, but let's just say if you looked in the dictionary under WASP, the acronym WASP, you'd see my picture. So I am a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Right.
So, and I know that coming from Iowa and coming from this Protestant background that goes back a few centuries, actually, the DeHart family in America, we have a different, you know, viewpoint, a different way that we do things in Iowa than we do in New York, than we do in Oregon. So that's important that people speak the same business language and know what people are expecting. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And just like with a lot of small Hispanic businesses, you know, they want to understand, they want to better work into the environment. So definitely want to learn the culture, you know, how to do business, you know, how to do marketing,
how to start a business,
how to do financial planning, how to start a business, secure all the proper license permits and so forth. And they're determined, they're motivated. So they just want to understand and learn, you know, how to do it. And a lot of them are very successful, doing very well, by the way.
Good. All right. Well, probably some of that thanks to you. So let's talk a little about Salem Capital Connections. And what's your mission there? Salem Capital Connections.
Salem Capital Connections, it's an association, or more of an informal association, a group of people. About 4 years ago, myself and other co-founders from other government and private business started this group to connect small business, any business, with government or large companies in terms of getting contracts with these large business and government entities.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say we invite Hoffman Construction to talk about what projects they have available, what do they need, what are they looking for. And so then we invite small business that hopefully want to do business with Hoffman. And so we invite them to connect with Hoffman, meet the people there, and hopefully get some business out of that meeting. And so there's no cost. It's volunteer-based. We have it here in Salem every month, the last Tuesday of the month, 7:30 in the morning. And it's a great, great organization because it's all volunteer-based. You know, we do it because we care. We value our community. We want to make sure local businesses benefit from these contracts.
That was my next question, is what's in it for you? And I think you just answered that.
Yes.
You volunteer.
Yes. Yes. I volunteer a lot. And being here in Salem for 14, 15 years, I love Salem. It's one of the best cities in the world when it comes to, for me personally, business, family, education. I mean, we love it. My kids went to Queen of Peace School, went to Judson, went to Sprague. Now some are Oregon State, University of Oregon, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And
very grateful.
You know, we'd mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. You serve on their board, but also you serve on the Garden Foundation.
Yes.
Board.
Garden Services Board, yes.
And their mission, you want to touch on that really quickly?
Yes, Garden Services.
We'll probably have them in and do a whole show on them, but go ahead.
Garden Services is a wonderful board, wonderful organization. They help so many people here in the community with disabilities, physical and mental, but also they give them jobs. They get them into the workplace. So I've been on the board almost 4 years. The people are really committed, really passionate about helping people. So they provide training, they provide jobs, programs to help people get into the workforce that are physically disabled or mentally disabled. And definitely it has a great mission. And, you know, they employ hundreds of people on an annual basis that definitely, I think, would not have a job if it wasn't for them.
All right. One of Brent's soap operas here, but you know, we talk about how a well-paying job is the best social program there is.
Right? You got it.
Somebody who is not on social services, who is not, so we don't have to raise the tax money to support the person because they're supporting themselves. The flip side of that, and I truly believe this is part of my value system, is what it does for an individual self-esteem.
Correct.
What it does for their dignity. And we're talking about Garden Foundation, if they have challenges, but be able to make them productive.
Correct.
And I've always thought it doesn't matter what job that you do, to earn an honest buck is a dignified way to live your life. And,
yes.
And I mean, everyone's like, flipping a burgers, is that beneath you? I flipped burgers. Did you flip burgers,
Dave? I did. That was my first job.
Yeah, I think we all did that,
H-double-H burger. Single, yeah. Anyway, back in the day. But the honor and the dignity of earning an honest buck, no matter what your job is. So there's social programs. And then, frankly, there's the society's mental health in terms of, I've earned this. And there's a lot of great things that happen to individuals personally. So that's my preaching, but let's get back to you.
But definitely, I believe that every human being has a full potential to achieve whatever success they want to achieve. So one of my goals personally as an individual is make sure that people understand that they can create their business, get a better job. Mm-hmm. It's really up to them. And so our goal is to provide those tools to help them get to that point, but also value each individual in a way that they feel respected, they feel that they have the potential. And so our programs is to create a community where everybody's economically self-sufficient. That's sort of personally one of my goals.
That's just crazy talk. You mean they shouldn't rely on the government?
No. No,
economically self-sufficient. Taking
correct.
Care of themselves and
correct.
Taking care of their families.
But we need to provide those tools, make yeah. sure that they can do that.
Right, because we don't come out of the womb able to do it. And the
no.
school district may or may not be able to arm
correct.
People
correct.
To work in today's economy.
Correct.
They're doing some great things, and there's steps in the right move, like career.
Correct.
Career
and, it takes, and it takes everybody in the community working together toward that common goal, because without business, without a good economy, nothing else exists.
So I'm blessed and privileged, and I grew up with a household that valued work and education and supported me. And, you know, the reality is not everybody has what I had.
No.
Not everybody has two parents that are supportive. Not everybody has two parents. So people who have started out with fewer advantages, they can go to an organization like yours and help get up to speed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we have just have a minute here, but we're talking about the Salem Capital Connections. And we're talking with Marin Arreola. The third, Marin Arreola,
yes,
the third, Advanced Economic Solutions, and all-around great guy and community servant. Governor's Marketplace, you said, comes in once a year.
Yes. The Governor's Marketplace is an annual event where we invite small business throughout the state of Oregon to come and learn how to do business with the state of Oregon agencies.
So they bring them all to Salem?
Correct.
Does Kate come? Governor Kate?
So, yes.
Yes.
Oh. She's there. Definitely does.
Excellent.
Yes, yes.
And how many people come?
About 1,000 people annually come.
1,000 people.
Yes.
And it's the spring.
Yes. We have usually March, late March, and it's we have workshops, speakers, meetings with vendors and so forth. And the goal is to make sure that hopefully a lot of small business do business with the state of Oregon.
Right.
Work with the state of Oregon. Yes. Yes.
Dave, did you know that happened?
I did not. Yes. I'm surprised that the governor shows up.
Yes. And one of our goals is making sure that small business understands that the state of Oregon wants to do business with small business. Small business, to me, is my passion. It's my heart. I believe that small business is pretty much the glue
uh-huh.
of our communities.
Absolutely.
And we need to make sure that they understand and know how to do business with government, but also anybody else, and that they're not alone, and that there's people who support them in terms of their growth and so forth.
I've never heard it said better by anyone. Thank you, Marin Arreola. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers KYKN. We'll be back in a minute to talk a little bit more with Marin Arreola of Advanced Economic Solutions. Thanks for being here. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers on 1430, the noon hour, where we talk about local topics and then local initiatives and local individuals. And I've got a character here sitting next to me today, Marin Arreola. He's my personal friend. I love this man. And I wish I had half his energy, honestly. Advanced Economic Solutions, it's great to have him in the studio talking about what he does. That's because I've known him probably 10 years or longer. And, you know, we'd be having a beer and I'm like, oh, you do what again? And it's frankly, it's just because it's too many things.
Too many things.
I was worried about it for the hour a little bit, Dave.
Really?
Because yes. You know, it's radio, and how do we explain in segments and in just an hour the things that Advanced Economic Solutions and Marin and his activism, because you described yourself during the break as an activist, right?
And then an advocate.
Advocate, that's a better word. You're an advocate.
For small business.
For small business owners, and for
yes.
people, we were talking about in the last segment, people to be able to have an economic unit in their household that's self-sustaining.
Correct.
And to cut through
correct.
Red tape. And this. So can you give us an example of how you can advocate for the small business guy when they're dealing with the large business guy or with the state or with the government?
So for example, when a local contractor, let's say, is working with a big company or with the state of Oregon, and they're having concerns about not being paid on time or not getting the proper information or having the proper communication with a big company or a government, we also try to help them navigate that system. So, for example, we try to have a meeting with a big company or and the small business, make sure that the issues are addressed, but also make sure that the government or big company understands making sure that they pay the business on time. So we try to always be aware of what's going on, but also you know, what can we do to make it simpler for the small business, but also to be accountable also with the paperwork, with the project, make sure everybody wins from mm-hmm. that relationship. So our goal is to continue educating big business, big government, but also the small business.
Yeah, getting paid on time is a big deal, especially if you're a smaller business. I think about the trades a lot, and I watch the trades a lot. And, you know, they're going to have to pay their laborers, and they may have three of them. And if they don't get paid, then the laborers don't get paid, and then you're in trouble with the government.
Correct.
Right? So I had a business that we were doing business. I'm a small business, and we were doing business with a much larger, much richer business. And the first piece of advice I got when dealing with them is don't extend credit. Don't extend credit. Make sure you charge them at the time we did our services. And so we used, got paid on a credit card or whatever at the time. Well, that big company went out of business. But had we done that, we would have lost an extraordinary amount of money. And frankly, it would have been a cash flow issue. And so I really understand what you're saying in terms of, hey, if you're going to do business with these small business people, you got to pay them on time.
Yes.
And you're going to pay them in 30 days, you pay them in 30 days.
Exactly. And I'm a big advocate for that because I think there's many businesses out there that are small that have a big issue when it comes to getting paid on time. And it does hurt their cash flow. They have to pay their employees, pay their monthly bills. And so if they wait 2 or 3 months before getting paid, it has to come out of their reserves. And I don't think that's fair. I think making sure that whoever they work with pays them on time. Mm-hmm. Of course, you send your invoice, you send whatever you need to send, but make sure that that check comes every month on time to pay your costs.
All right, I'm going to take a left turn on you, Marin.
Sure.
All right, so there's the listener sitting in his vehicle mm-hmm. right now, hates his boss.
I know a couple of people like that.
Really would like to go out on their own. The fact is, it's really not that hard to start your own business, right?
It's not.
There's not that many obstacles in this area. As much as we like to complain.
It's not. And just a quick story. I moved from California in 2003.
One of those.
Came with nothing. No business. No job. Started my company right away. Became a member of the Chamber of Commerce. Back then, Mike McLaren, Tom Hufford helped me with a lot of connections, with a lot of networking, meeting a lot of people. Honestly, I'm so grateful for them back then when I first moved to Salem that if it wasn't for them, it would have been not impossible, more difficult, but definitely at that time, the Chamber helped me a lot in making a lot of connections, which led to contracts, to work, to get known in the community and so forth.
Yeah, if you're a frequent flyer with the Newsmakers, you know I'm a big advocate for the Chamber.
Yes.
Frankly, because the Chamber is the most pro-Salem entity that I know of.
Yes.
You know, they're a small business advocate, absolutely. But small business, they also understand that to have a good small business, have a general economy and a business that's thriving, you have to have quality of life. And they get that.
Correct.
So they're also quality of life advocates. They're just pro-Salem. So they're like, yes. Hey, Marin, welcome to town. How can we help, right?
Correct. And I think providing the tools and the connections really helped a lot. So I'm very grateful for that. And I've been in business 15 years. I'm doing something right. I'm still learning. But you know what? I've been really grateful and we're lucky.
And it's going around because as you described before, now you're helping other people you're volunteering to help other people and get them take the same road you have.
Yes. And by the way, I'm also involved with the city of Salem. I'm an advisor to the Mayor's International Council, which is a council that making sure that includes all communities in the city of Salem and working with the city of Salem, but also make sure that we include all the communities in terms of what's going out there, what's happening with their communities and so forth. So we have meetings. And it's a great forum to making sure that we know the value of all communities here in Salem, what they bring to our economy and so forth.
Okay, so we're talking about small business ownership, and you know it's not for everyone. So I have friends who are entrepreneurial, I have friends who are not. I have friends who like, I want a paycheck every other week, and I want a 401k, and I want to clock out. And
yeah, don't want to be the boss.
It's not for the faint of heart. So
no,
small
it's
business
not.
Is not for, it's not for everyone.
It's a lot of hard work.
But in this economy, and now we're going to cycle back to workforce.
Sure.
What a robust economy we have. We have a more diverse economy. Do we have time to talk about this, Dave?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so who's not working? Who's out there that wants a job and is able-bodied that's not working? And the flip side of this question is who's looking for bodies that they cannot find?
You know, right now there's a big need for employees. Many companies in a lot of fields are dying for employees.
Like what? Which
for example, construction.
Okay.
Many construction companies are telling me, Marin, we need workers. We can't find them or we can't have them apply. I mean, they're so competitive right now that they're paying higher wages for any type of construction work right now because they need workers. But also, they need better or skilled workers, which is even harder to find. There's a lot of young people that aren't going into these fields. They're not going into construction. They don't see it as a viable option. And it's a shame because there's a need for construction workers and here locally, but also statewide. And so many companies are paying higher wages for people in construction.
And you have Amazon coming in. They're going to pay $15.
Correct.
Right? And they're going to hire this spring.
Yes.
Maybe 700 people. Right?
So here locally, you know, I was one of the co-founders and with my colleague in developing a young adult workforce program called ELI. And it's to get young workers, young adults back into the workforce by providing training, connections, mentoring, coaching, internships to get them back into the workforce, complete their education, whatever that may be.
I love hearing you talk, so I hate to interrupt, but
sure.
What you just said is kind of the definition of workforce development.
Correct.
Right? So we use these buzzwords, and it's really hard to, hey, let's make this a brick in terms of how people understand it. And just what you said, it's the training, it's the introduction, it's the mentorship and all those things, right?
So for example, we have youth that want to go into, let's say, in the health field. So we try to work them, connect them at Salem Health, working there an internship, learning how, you know, how to work in the health field, what type of jobs are in that health field, and so forth. Somebody wants to work in construction. You know, we put them in a construction company, get experience and so forth. You know, how to work in the construction field. So then maybe they want to start their own business after they get experience and so forth. People want to work in different areas. So we get them jobs where they want to learn how to do, but also making sure that they realize that it's really up to them. And part of our goal is to provide those skills, but also those soft skills, work ethic, you know, being on time, you know, being determined, you know, being positive, you know, being a good team builder with working with other people, you know, making sure you're accountable, making sure that you communicate, making sure that you have the right proper uniform, make sure you have the proper, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that we have that reputation of a collaboration city. Because Chemeca does some of this. I know that a lot of times when we're bringing in a large company or a new company or someone's expanding, it needs workforce. And that's one of the conversations is, do you have a skilled workforce that can do these jobs? So it's either building RVs, right, in Polk County. It's laminated wood products up in the canyon. Or it's the telephone call centers. It's making discs, silicon discs, all sorts of things. And Chemeca, we'll have the president on, Dave. We're going to have the president
this
month. We'll have the Chemeca president on to talk about their programs. But, you know, that's where we work together. We get the advocacy from your company, Marina Areola here, Advanced Economic Solutions, the advocacy from the Chamber of Commerce and for SEDCOR, and integrate that and communicate with the colleges and get all that done.
I just want to say quickly, one of the reasons why we're so successful with our programs and with the work that we do is each person, no matter who they are, has value, has respect, has dignity, and we believe in their potential more than anything else. And you really have to come across with that sense of connectedness with individuals, because a lot of times people lose hope. They give up getting a better job, starting a business. They don't believe in themselves anymore. And that's part of our value system, making sure that every individual feels, you know what, you are important. You're part of our economy. We value you. You can do whatever you want to do, but it's really up to you. And we would definitely want to make sure that they understand that.
Good. Potential and responsibilities.
Yes.
And opportunity.
Yes.
I like it. Now, you know, I think we're going to hit some more announcements before the end of the month about new economic development news. So that's exciting. And we're still going to kind of scratch our head and find where we're going to find all the workers. We're going to put everybody to work. And so everybody has a job in the Mid-Valley.
You got it.
So we'll be back for one more segment. We're talking to Marin Areola. We're at KYKN at Newsmakers at the News Hour. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
That song. Welcome to Newsmakers. Welcome back. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne and our guest Marina Areola with Advanced Economic Solutions. Gosh, so many things to talk about. And I said at the top of the hour, we're going to try to get a nutshell about what you do. And you're kind of all over the place. So we've talked about how you help government do business with Oregon business and specifically smaller Oregon business, a large business to a small business. Your money comes from a lot from grants, Marin, right?
Contracts.
Contracts and grants.
Yes.
To achieve some of these desirable economic development, business development, and workforce development goals.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you just launched this thing. I mean, you just like came to town and you took off.
Yes. I was very, very motivated and determined. I mean, the first year was definitely difficult. I mean, difficult.
Yeah.
But you have hope and you believe and you're motivated. But the second year it got better and
so
better.
If I'm going to, now that you've been here for an hour, we're talking to the listener. If I'm going to narrow it down to what does Advanced Economic Solutions do, you're a connector, right? You are a collaborator,
yes.
And you're getting people connected to where they need to be.
Yes.
One of the better things came out of the recession on a sidelight is recession was terrible, building was terrible, and then there was formed a business construction alliance where, hey, the pie is smaller, everyone. Instead of scratching each other's eyes out and nobody making any money, how do we get together and say, hey, where's the work? How can we work together? And they came together and there was connections and it was alliance and helped make it through the recession, right? So those kinds of collaborative things.
Yes.
But you're specifically in a position to facilitate those connections, right?
Correct. And so, you know, I believe that true partnerships that are effective with government, with private business, with nonprofits, associations, can lead to a better economy. But both partnerships from both sides need to be very effective, really willing to work together, not just pretend, but really work together toward a common cause. Because without jobs, without business, there's no community.
Yeah.
There's no government. There's nothing.
Yeah. And we're, you know, every now and then we might be a little critical of government around here.
A little.
Every now and then we might say something critical of government. And but on the other hand, the communication things that you're talking about and getting the government to understand what the private sector mindset is. So I'll give you an example. This happened a month ago and we're talking and we're saying, hey, we want to do this. We want to get this done. And well, we don't have the equipment for that and we don't have the money. So that was, you know, everybody in the room knew that, but half the people in the room were government and half the people were not in government.
Mm-hmm.
So the private sector person thinks, okay, that's the beginning of a conversation. And the government sector person thinks that's the end of the conversation. We don't have this equipment and we don't have the money. Next. And the private sector person looks, you know, they look at each other and like, all right, how are we going to get the money?
Right.
Right. That's a completely different mindset. It's like, because we want to do this, this is the obstacle. How do we get through the obstacle to make something happen in your community and, you know, get to the goal kind of thing. But, you know, that little microcosm as far as the government understanding the private sector mindset is helpful. Just the communication piece.
It is. And there's also a lot of people out there that work in government that understand small business, that are strong advocates, that have a lot of passion also for small business that I work with, that I strongly value. And they get it and they understand it. And so they're working really hard within the government to bring about those changes.
Well, Marin, you just gave us some hope.
There is hope.
I like that.
Definitely, definitely, definitely.
All right, Marin Arreola, Advanced Economic Solutions. Anything else you want to tell us in terms of, you know, I think of you as such an advocate of connecting, how's the word, trying to build relationships.
Correct.
And sometimes between the Latino company business community and the non-Latino business community.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit earlier about how only having one economy and one chamber and this and that. What are some of the obstacles there in terms of the integration, the amalgamation of everyone together?
I think making sure that both communities understand one another, but also making sure that we teach, provide the tools and information on both sides to understand how we can work better together. Because in the end, you're right, it's all one community. So for example, I would try to invite small Hispanic businesses to the chamber, to meetings, to meet other people, to be not afraid and so forth, but also educate organizations to how to work with the Hispanic market. You know what I mean? In terms of how to work with the culture, how to make sure that, you know, they understand exactly. And so kind of bringing both parties to a better understanding, acculturation, because in the end, we're one community, you know, we're one Salem, and I believe that everybody should benefit from whatever that is. It may be different strategies, different ways of doing it, but in the end, it's one common goal, and that's a better economy for everyone.
So should we have a Hispanic or a Latino Chamber of Commerce?
Well, you know, sometimes, and again, you know, there's a need to bring about communities out into the mainstream, and maybe that's a process to do that. But I do believe that everybody should be involved with the Salem Chamber of Commerce, because it benefits, I don't care who you are, Latino or non-Latino, to be part of the Salem Chamber of Commerce, and if you want to grow your business. So one of my goals is to get Latino businesses involved with the Salem Chamber of Commerce, because they can benefit from getting more business, getting more for their business overall by doing that. So I do believe there's maybe different strategies how to do that, different programs, but in the end, it's one kind of allowing them, making sure they understand that they need to get involved also with the main systems, the main organizations, and so forth.
I confess, Dave, that Marin and I have shared a beer or two.
Just a couple?
And we've talked a lot about workforce and Latino workforce and immigration issues, the federal government. Sure. Actually, if they would just put Marin and I in charge, we could solve this whole thing.
Yes.
A couple of beers.
Yeah, we would decimate all the policymakers of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and Marin and I would just solve this thing.
Because it's all economics. I mean, it's all economics.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing, and we're going to run out of time to dive into a deep, hot-button subject, but there are people who skew right on the political, right? They skew right on the political spectrum, and they might be in the agricultural sector. They might be farmers. Mm-hmm. They might be rural people. They might be industry people. Mm-hmm. They skew right. And then I've been out there and I talked to them, and like, we need workforce, and we need people in the area that'll work, that will work for the wages, and so they want a solution. And then in the national stage and all of that stuff that is not real life right here on the street in Salem, right in Marion and Polk County. National stuff, they're talking about all these things, and all they want to do is argue. But they do need solutions so that our industry, our agriculture has workers. They got to figure it out.
And they
want them legal.
Right.
So then you get an argument. We're not advocating, hey, do we want amnesty, or hey, do we want open borders, but we want an ability to grow our business and find the workforce. So people have all the jobs, right?
Correct. No, if it's an easier process to get a permit to come here and work, be less issues going on and so forth. Like back in the 1930s, early 40s, my grandfather came with a permit to work here. Uh-huh. You know, an easy process, came here and so forth, and that's how he came into this country. And then brought his whole family later in the 50s because of jobs. And they were doing those jobs.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that we had a guest worker program up until into the 60s even, where people from, you know, Latin America could come to America on a guest worker program. And they were legal, but they weren't citizens, but they could work here. And if we could do that, we could eliminate the coyotes that are smuggling and human trafficking and things like that.
Correct.
And also serve the industry that America needs in the workforce.
Correct. Again, back to economics.
We're going to have to bring a couple of beers in, and Marina and I will sit here and get everybody how it's going to work. Sorry to jump into that topic right at the end of the hour, but it is important, you know, keeping our economy going and making sure we have the workforce to do so.
Yes.
We're going to be attracting people out of the Portland market, I think. Less expensive housing, more, you know, better wages, more competitive, and more vibrant and better quality of life here. So,
yes.
Marin Ariella, before you have to sign off, Advanced Economic Solutions, I thank you. You're doing in the community. I thank you what you're doing for small business, for economic development, for workforce development, connecting government and business together. Thanks for being with us on Newsmakers. KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.